Some educators you interviewed had teachable moments in their classrooms. Can you tell me more about that?
Virginia Boyle, who is a teacher at Dr. Campos Puerto Rican High School in Chicago, told me a story about how some of her students had attended some of the Black Lives Matter rallies and protests in Chicago, and they came to her class after hearing that BLM Chicago supported looting. So using news articles, the group's website, and other materials, they found that a member had said that he supported looting, but in another interview, the group's president explained that that was the member's personal view and that BLM Chicago did not condone looting.
In that case, the teacher was able to show students how to find accurate information. Is that enough?
So when you first think about media literacy, you only think that it's about being able to spot disinformation. But it turns out that there's a lot more to it than that. It's looking at the information that we choose to consume, then looking at our own biases and shortcomings that make us human. And students use those skills every day, whether they realize it or not. With the pandemic, they're online a lot. And beyond that, they're accessing and creating all kinds of media. They're watching videos, they're listening to podcasts, and then they're using that information to create their own media as well.
Your article explains that we all live in our own information ecosystems. How does that impact how we think about the world?
According to a Pew Research Center study, then more than 80% of us have smartphones. So we all have access to information all the time. We're just saturated in it. I interviewed Mike Spike, student at Northwestern University, so a media literacy expert, and he explained that we all live in these information ecosystems and that some of us might only have social media in our ecosystem. Some of us might have richer systems with legitimate news organizations and other sources. And then that's the information that we're using to navigate the world. So we need to think about the quality of the information we consume and whether or not it's polluted with material that maybe isn't fact-checked or only contains one biased view.
Tell me more about how our ecosystems can be polluted.
So I also interviewed David Rapp, who's a psychology professor at Northwestern University, and we talked a lot about the shortcomings that we have as humans in consuming information. So our brains are wired in a way that affects how we're able to take in and analyze information. We're more likely to gravitate towards information that agrees with our own underlying core beliefs, and then we spin that information in our minds to agree with those beliefs. And then our brains pause over information that we know is false. You know, during a pandemic or times that we're scared or living in unrest, so the pandemic or Black Lives Matter protests, if you're living, you know, in an area where there's looting at the time of the looting, you know, we're living in fear. So we're worse at seeing our own shortcomings, and we might have less energy or time to analyze or verify the information we're taking in. And then there are groups that take advantage of those times to promote their own agendas. So the baseless stories about widespread voter fraud is a good example of that. Jonah Rubin, an anthropology assistant professor at Knox College, told me that media literacy has a place in all school subjects. And he talked a lot about the success of our future depending on young people being able to learn these skills because they're going to be solving future problems.